It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome in to episode 333 of the Sources Say Podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very excited to be joined once again by the one and only Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Jack. How are you?
I shaved my head, Sean. let's just cut through the BS. Let's just acknowledge the elephant in the room. Let's just talk about
Let's just say that I don't know when you did this, but I've not been on video with you. I had no idea you did this. And as soon as we get in the stream, I said, whoa. And I don't even know if my face is.
You said, what happened?
Yeah. So
that's not very kind
of you. That was only like 5 minutes ago, too. So it's still fresh to me, too. Fresh cut. It's fresh on me. It looks good, though. I like it. You look like I said, you're channeling your inner Channing Tatum and Coach reminds me of here.
So I was going to Memphis for the EYBL session one. And I always, before we go to an event, whenever, wherever I go, whether it's NCAA tournament, obviously it's only just for a day or two nowadays, or it was SEC tournament. I always like the day before getting my haircut. Makes me feel good going to whatever we do. So I was going to do that, called my barber. He was unfortunately booked the day before because I was an idiot and tried scheduling it at the last second. So I said that I was just going to do it myself because during COVID I did cut my hair by myself all the time because I would just do a two on the side scissor cut on top. Wasn't that big of a deal, but my new barber here in Shelbyville, like, started giving me like the skin fades and like doing it his way. And I was just reenacting the way he had been trying to do it. And I don't know how to do that. So I started and it looked really good, like up to here. And then when I realized I got to the top, I was like, oh shoot, I don't know how to do this. So I just kept cutting and cutting, and I got like to here, and I was going to just try to, you know, just see if I could finish a job. I couldn't. I then called my barber and said, I have made a royal error. Please, can you meet me at the barbershop in 10 minutes? I will pay you double to fix whatever you can salvage of this. So this was the salvaged version. This was like best case scenario of what I could have looked like. It was a disaster, but you know what? We're taking it in stride, man. It's nice to wake up every morning and not have to do it. But doesn't mean I love it.
It's like the perfect thing because I did an episode on here 2 weeks ago and didn't have a mustache because of a mistake that I made with my beard, and I just couldn't let go of the full beard. So I don't even know if anybody noticed I was missing a mustache for a few days on episode. So like, it's a little bit more noticeable to miss your hair, but it looks good on you. And look, it's a new era, Jack, new era in Kentucky basketball. It's a new era for your hairstyle. And maybe you got that Mark Pope look going on too.
Somebody posted a picture with Mark Pope from Carson's today with one of the visitors, and it was literally the same haircut. I was like, you know what? I got the shirt from my guy at Goose Tees. It looks absolutely sensational. Party like it's 1996, bringing banners back to the bluegrass. Exceptional shirt. I appreciate the guys at Goose Tees. If you have not purchased one, what are you waiting for? Make sure you buy this shirt. So I'm just unleashing my inner Mark Pope. He has me so excited that I just wanted to copy his style. So there's a lot to enjoy about the Mark Pope era right now, Sean, where we went into the weekend. We talked about this going into the weekend. We said there's three signees right now. There's a high profile visitor list coming up this weekend. We need to, you know, staff is finalized for the most part, got a couple core anchoring pieces. Let's open the next week with at least one more addition. And then by the end of this week, let's have say seven or eight. The exact numbers that we even said to at least start building some real building blocks and start moving forward. And then Friday comes and you get Lamont Butler of San Diego State. And then Saturday comes and you get Otega Owe from Oklahoma. And then Sunday comes and then you get Andrew Carr of Wake Forest. And then today we get the very big surprise of Brandon Garrison, Oklahoma State, the guy that nobody was expecting when they woke up this morning to be a Kentucky Wildcat. He makes it official, gives us yet another addition. And now we are at lucky number 7. Sean, just the whiplash of the total additions. It's been a lot, but it's been a lot of fun to just kind of watch this thing piece together and start seeing the vision that Mark Pope clearly has for this roster start to come together.
Yeah, it's actually been ready to kind of have a roster to look at. And now we can kind of start to see a rotation. And it's starting to kind of settle in, and we're starting to get some movement and not as much fun. Who Kentucky's targeting, it's now who Kentucky's landing. And to get all that kind of over the course of a week, and specifically a weekend, you're starting to be able to get excited about what this roster can look like. And the graphic there looks significantly different than the last time we recorded. There's more names in the income, still a lot of names in the targets, but we could actually field a starting five and a couple of guys on a bench now. Like that's really cool. But across this whole thing, Jack, the most exciting thing about it is Mark Pope is getting guys that have proven that they can do it, and they've proven they can do it in the biggest of moments. And when you go across this, and we'll get into this over the next hour, he's taking guys that he has seen with his own two eyes, guys that he's coached against, guys that he's game planned against, guys that he's played against in the Big 12. And I think that when you're walking into a new job, the magnitude of Kentucky, in a year where it's different, you're having to completely build your roster from scratch. Every single face is new walking into this program, including yourself. You go and get guys that have proven that they're tough to stop. And let's face it, a couple of guys, including Brandon Garrison, that is a name that Mark Pope had to game plan again, coach against, and he had some success against BYU. So I think that when you look at that, it's kind of intriguing and interesting to follow that he's gone and got guys from the Big 12 that he has coached against, game planned against, personnel scouts, all those things. And if he's had success against you, go get him and let's go have success against other people. And I think that that's something that maybe Mark Pope has leaned on in the last few days, is getting guys he's familiar with. And I think that adds some comfort to him bringing them in.
I love that he singled out that not only did – he crushed me at BYU last year, but he also crushed Coach Brooks at Baylor. He went 2 for 2, both of those games in the Big 12. He had big performances. So I wonder what that, like the war room looked like, where they were going through the whiteboard that he went on KSR and talked about, when they're kind of singling out, okay, top tier guys, who they want. And they both are talking about the same guy. I said, well, he sure kicked my butt. Well, he also kicked my butt too. Well, maybe we should start pursuing this a little bit harder. So I love that addition. We'll talk about what that means, the timing of great Osabor, who is on campus right now, what that means for that. But let's go in order of how we got to this point, because the first addition was one that kind of came out of left field in its own right, where the staff jumped on a private jet, flew out to Las Vegas, and secured a commitment within hours for Lamont Butler, who was the darling of the NCAA tournament 2 years ago. We talk about needing NCAA tournament experience, building a roster of championship level talent, guys that have been there, that knows what it takes to make runs in the postseason. And then you go and add a guy that literally hit the game-winning shot in the final four of the 2023 NCAA tournament to send San Diego State to the championship game. Arguably the best perimeter defender in the portal, a guy that who just eats, breathes, and sleeps winning basketball. You go start with him. And then you follow that up with, you have Otega Owe, who I watched 30 times play for team final through scouting Jalen Duren and Derek Lively and Justin Edwards, guys that we've seen come across our radar with Kentucky basketball. And he was the one that every time I watched team final, I was like, damn, he's a lot of fun. I wouldn't mind if Coach Cal went all in on him. He ends up going to the Big 12, goes to Oklahoma, has a really, really strong start to his career. A guy that guards 94 feet, just an absolute menace on the defensive end, who's also a high level athlete, a growing jump shot. He took 4 3-pointers as a freshman and then emerged as a 37% three-point shooter this past season. So he's really developing. I talked to the team final director in Memphis at the EYBL stop, and he said his nickname was Otegatron because he just kind of was a transformer, filled all the different gaps and roles that they needed at team final. He did the exact same thing at Oklahoma. So you add him, and then you say, okay, well, they're going all in on defense, Sean. They have prioritized defense. They went out and got, you know, conference defensive player of the year in Amari Williams, conference defensive player of the year in Lamont Butler, and then a guy who is as good 94 feet as anybody else in college basketball in Owe. Where's the offense coming from? And then you get to Sunday, and then Andrew Carr, a guy that has been at the top of the priority list for Mark Pope since the beginning, Wake Forest, a true stretch four guy who on high volume can step out and knock down threes while still being a 6'11", 230-pound big with some good passing, good vision, you know, good decision maker, you know, good cutter, gets to the basket, just a really nice high basketball IQ type of kid. You add him to start getting some offense there. So you start seeing the pieces start to come together, Sean. And it was one heck of a weekend where we, like I said, we're starting to really find an identity where if you were worried about defense last season, Mark Pope has gone above and beyond to overcompensate for that. And you got to love just the tenacity and the toughness that these guys are bringing.
Yeah, that's what we talked about last week was he addressed defense. He addressed physicality. He continued to do that into the weekend. And then when you got guys coming in, Jack, that have been all defensive teams or defensive player of the year in their conference, and they've done it in some of the biggest moments in college basketball. And when we're talking, you know, about, you know, Butler, we're talking about a guy that hit one of the biggest shots of the season and one of the biggest moments that you can do it in outside the national championship game and things like if you do it in the Final Four, in the semifinal, that's a big moment in college basketball. And guys being able to do that and getting that experience in your program where you're kind of trying to bridge the gap and transition from one coaching staff to the next. And you're kind of maybe trying to establish a footprint on what you're wanting your rosters to look like. And I still think that what this roster is going to look like at the end of it might not be what rosters are going to look like in year two, year three, year four, year five under Mark Pope. But right now, this is how you win. This is what you do. This is what you establish yourself for this upcoming 2024-2025 season. You got to win now. You go get experience pieces like this. I'm not as much worried about the offensive stuff because I think Mark Pope is such a good offensive mind that he's going to find ways to make these pieces fit. He's going to get the defense, get the physicality. We know that they're after some shot making and some guys that can really knock down shots from the three-point line, and we'll see how those dominoes fall in the coming days. But I trust what he's going to do and scheme up and the way he's going to make all this fit and work. And Lamont Butler's a guy that can really drive the basketball. Explosive first step, can get in the paint, get downhill. You put that with some shooting and some five men and some fours that can make plays, and I think that you can get a pretty solid combination offensively of what Kentucky can do, Jack. But to me, this is going to be a team that's going to be able to sit and defend you at multiple spots. And they're going to be very, very disruptive, and they're going to use that to create some offense. I had somebody ask me today, is this going to be a roster that's got studs on it, that's got a star, just got a difference-making guy? I don't know. But what I think it's going to come down to offensively, it's going to be the system. The system is what's going to drive it for Kentucky. I think it's going to be a system of guys that can make shots, get paint touches, have the ability to stretch the floor at the four and the five and make plays from there as well with passing the ball, shooting the ball. But the physicality that you're going to see across this roster, I just think they're going to have some toughness that's been missing for the last few years.
Yeah, and you're in an interesting spot because you have seven guys signed. None of them are considered surefire superstars. In my opinion, I think that opens the door for you to have an all-in pitch, for you to swing for the fences on a home run. I think Jackson Robinson fits that mold. I think Great Osabor, who is on campus right now, look, the timing was very, very weird with how this Brandon Garrison thing came together. And it's my understanding, talking to people around the program, people that knew Brandon's recruitment, that new greats recruitment, that great Osabor came on campus with the absolute mindset of, I'm taking all my visits. I owe it to every, you know, myself as an All-American candidate. I one of the most dominant bigs in basketball. I owe it to myself to see the entire process through. Kentucky wanted to, you know, to get this thing done and wrapped up and put a bow on it before he left. But for a guy of his magnitude, he has to see the process through all the way. He's still testing the draft waters. He has three more visits upcoming. That's still at minimum going to last through next week. He went in bringing his family over from England with the idea of, hey, I got to really dig into this and do my due diligence. I'm not bringing them all the way over to America to, you know, Lexington, Kentucky, and then just saying, okay, 2 days later, see a mom and dad, go back over the back across the pond. I'll take it from here. No, he wanted to see this process through, see all of the visitors ending at Washington, where his former coach is now there. So that's something to keep a very close eye on. It's my understanding that Brandon Garrison, when it became available, when it became real that he is willing to commit right now, 3 years left of eligibility remaining. Kind of one of those guys that has a really, really high ceiling. He's, you know, I think he's been mischaracterized as a project big. I think he, you know, not maybe as high of a floor as obviously a great Osabor, but he's still a guy that produced at a really high level in the Big 12, as we talked about when that's why they wanted to kind of zero in on him and sign him. But he is more of the, okay, we can bank on him being more of a foundational piece long-term, where he's probably not going to be ready to go pro after a year, while still saying, great Osabor, if you're ready to come, we'll take you whenever, we'll still pursue you. So you get three bigs that are capable of playing and should get some minutes, but I don't think that those two things are exclusive of one another. I don't think that by signing Brandon Garrison, it completely takes great Osabor out. Now, on great side, I think he now has to look at this and say, okay, well, they have three bigs. I'm going to be competing. He's better than them. He is the best of the group. So I don't think that he's going in with that mindset. I think he knows that he would play above them. And I think that was part on Brandon's side of, you know, I'm going to have to come in and compete for my minutes. So I don't think it puts Kentucky in an unbelievable spot. Again, he's an expensive kid with NIL and, just what it's going to cost to add some of this other star talent. Kobe Brea is visiting right now. Kentucky is in prime position to land his commitment. He comes at a premium cost as the great best shooter in the portal right now. So it comes down to cost and kind of managing your budget of what you can afford. And great Osabor is a superstar quality premium product. What does that mean for a Jackson Robinson, who is also a premium product as the Big 12 Sixth Man of the Year? And you still have to go land a point guard. You still have to have a primary facilitator, playmaker, guy who's going to put your team in winning position beyond just Lamont Butler. You still have some pieces to add. Are you going to load up entirely on the front court and kind of leave you a little bit thin financially in the backcourt? I think that's something that Kentucky is navigating right now, where they knew that Brandon Garrison was available today, and they didn't want to risk passing on him, knowing that there was a chance that in 2 weeks, when great Osabor is ready to commit, that he doesn't end up coming to Kentucky, and then you're missing out on Brandon Garrison too. So it was a really tricky spot to be in, you know, one in the hand, two in the bush type of deal for Mark Pope, that I think he sat down and said, Brandon Garrison is good enough to be an impact player for us. At some point, we can't pass on this. At minimum, we have three front court pieces that can come in and contribute. I'm willing to take that risk. I know some fans will disagree with it, and I get there's some skepticism because you do need some star power, but I can see the vision there with what Pope's thinking, Sean.
I can too. And I mean, obviously when it came across this morning, I was kind of surprised by the timing of it and things, but Brandon Garrison fits what you're looking for. We're talking about a guy that's done it in a major conference, you know, in the Big 12. And when you turn on the tape, you see the things that I was talking about a moment ago, the physicality, the ability to play at the rim. He has some shot blocking to his game. He can pass the basketball, like nothing from the three-point line and things like that. But overall, I like the addition of it. And he had one of his biggest games of the year against Mark Pope and BYU. Scored 21 points, I believe maybe five rebounds, a couple of steals in that game, a block shot. So that goes back to what I was saying a moment ago. Mark Pope has evaluated these guys and game planned and scouted against them and put a personnel scout against these guys multiple times. When you see them up close, it's a difference in recruiting high school talent and talent that you've coached against in college basketball in a major conference, Jack, because these guys have beaten you. These guys have gone up against you and had success against you. And I think that gives Pope and the staff both some comfort in knowing, okay, I know this guy can handle what we're going to do here. I know this guy has had success. I've seen it up against me. And I think that that's why you kind of some of these moves being made, especially with guys coming from the Big 12 over to Kentucky and then, you know, former guys that they've been in on at BYU and such. So I think some familiarity there is probably the biggest reason. But his upside, so much potential to his game, still a lot of eligibility left. Could be a major get if he comes to Kentucky and settles in the way that a lot of people expect him to, Jack, and could be a long-term piece in this program and have a lot of success.
Let's touch a little bit more on that too, because the 3 years thing, I think, was a really, really big selling point on Mark Pope's side, where you get a guy that it isn't just a fifth-year grad transfer that like great Osabor is, that Amari Williams is, that Andrew Carr is. That's a premium in itself in terms of leadership and experience. But you also want a guy that you can feel pretty darn confident is going to stick around for a couple years, because again, he's a McDonald's All-American, so he has the untapped potential. But he's also not a guy that's just in a rush to get the heck out of there and go pro. He did not put his name in the early entrant list that just came out today, where we can talk about that in a second too. Andrew Carr is on that list. Great Osabor is on that list. Lamont Butler is on that list. Who else? Amari Williams is also on that list as well. You get a guy that knows who he is, where he is in his development, and he's going to be confident kind of waiting to find his – by coming to Kentucky – Sean, rather than going to Oklahoma, I just got off the phone with his coach. It came down to Oklahoma. Arkansas was pretty iffy about that one. Texas was pretty iffy about that. It's my understanding that it came down to Oklahoma in Kentucky, from what his coach said. And he would have been able to go to Oklahoma and play a ton of minutes, be the guy from day one. And this is a guy that started 29 games this past season at Oklahoma State. So he is signing on to play Kentucky knowing that it's going to be a loaded front court. He's kind of signing on for the long-term approach with this, where there's no way that he's expecting to come in and be the guy, to be what great Osabor would be. And, you know, if you get a Jackson Robinson at the guard position, and, you know, if you get a ball dominant point guard, those are going to be the main dudes. He is going to be fifth, sixth, seventh type of option, which is a great thing for us, but it's also game, you know, taking a risk on himself and saying, you know what, I'm comfortable in knowing that Mark Pope's going to develop me into the McDonald's All-American caliber talent that I came in to be. So I think that was a really big part of the pitch as well, Sean, that you're taking a risk. You're taking a chance on him as a long-term piece that, you know, Otega Owe has 2 years of eligibility as well. You're bringing in some of these guys, Travis Perry, Colin Chandler, that you know are going to stick around for a couple of years. You can't just load up on fifth-year guys knowing that at the end of the year you have to hit reset completely. So this is a long-term play by Mark Pope as well.
And that makes sense to me, because you've got to blend it. And you're going to have more people in this program now than they have the last 10 to 15 years. Like, Mark Pope's going to identify guys that are going to be in this program for a couple of years at a time, and maybe some that get to year three. We'll see if that's all going to, if any of that's going to be from high school talent or if it's always going to be portal. But I think the big thing here, Jack, would be, like I said, it could be different for this one than maybe the one coming up, because we're going to get to see how they recruit and things like that over the next couple of months as you move into Peach. We're going to see who they're targeting. We're going to see what that kind of Kentucky presence is post John Calipari and now in the Mark Pope era. But when you look at how this roster is coming together, I think that you're going to have a better balance of roster construction than what they were able to have under John Calipari. Cal, obviously, his early days at Kentucky in the NBA draft and the success there, you never really could get away from it. When he would lean in to whatever, he leaned all the way in. The Oscar Tshiebwe years, first year, it was a lot of transfers. Heavy portal, the recruiting class suffered. Last year, all recruiting class, young freshmen, not as much in the portal. I think with Pope, there's not that maybe previous criteria or reputation there that's kind of handcuffed you to something that you can find a balance here. And I think that's why you see a guy like Brandon Garrison getting a spot on this roster because of the long-term potential beyond 1 year. And I think that there's a lot of value in that. And this roster is going to be blended together with some one-year guys, some freshmen that we're seeing that can develop within the program, but also those guys that maybe could go either way. Let's say Brandon Garrison gets to Kentucky or some of these other pieces and they pop and they become a pro after 1 year. Great. That means they've had a ton of success. But if not, they're going to be valuable pieces to your program that can give you beyond one season, and they develop within. Like, that's a lot of college eligibility left for a guy that had a ton of success as a freshman. These are guys that have proven it in the biggest of moments, in the biggest conferences in college basketball, defensive players of the year, all league guys, guys that have made shots in big moments. Jack, like, I think there's going to be a confidence about this Kentucky team that there have been guys that have done it, and we've seen it with our own two eyes. That's a big win. I think that gives Mark Pope some comfort in knowing what he's got. And I think that the roster is really coming together and blending perfectly.
So the next name of substance for Kentucky fans that, I mean, we kind of took a risk by starting the show right now as is, because there is a chance before the show even ends that this guy is a Kentucky Wildcat. Dayton's Kobe Brea, the best shooter in the portal by a mile. I mean, this kid was a coin flip 3-point shooter on high volume, 6 attempts per game in the catch and shoot. One of the most brilliant shooters in college basketball that's come through in a minute. I mean, this is a guy that I think I saw that he was in the 100th percentile in catch and shoot threes on like 81% true efficiency field goal percentage. It's just, it's the numbers that he puts up for what his specialty is. Nobody in college basketball can match that. Think a Kellen Grady, a guy, you know, a guy that came in that maybe has more to give than he showed at his last spot, or, you know, wasn't the, you know, he could have dropped down a level and would have been the superstar with the ball in his hands constantly, could have played a little bit more on the ball, but he had one designated position. He was the guy in college basketball as a catch and shoot specialist. You bring him in, and all signs are pointing to this happening within minutes, hours, not even to the point of days. Like, we're in the target window of this thing potentially breaking at any given moment. That's a get. That is one that I had my eye on from the beginning. One that I said, man, you're recruiting against the best of the best. So there was some talk about, you know, maybe him overplaying his hand a little bit with NIL and, you know, turning off some of the other suitors for him. His final list, Sean, was Kansas, UNC, Duke, UConn, and Kentucky. I mean, he picked the five blue bloods to choose from and is now very likely to end up at Kentucky. It's a big get from a profile standpoint, from who he is, from where he comes from. And it fills a role that has not, that you just don't have on this roster right now, that, you know, he's going to come in, he's going to play, he's going to play a lot, he's going to get a lot of shots. But that's a building block piece that Kentucky's in prime position to land.
Yeah. And I was sitting here looking at stats because there's a lot of good things when you look at them, and I wanted to make sure I didn't miss something, but you talked about that word specialist. And that's why a week ago I was talking about, you address physicality, you address defense early on, and you kind of establish that presence of being a physically tough team. And now you go surround it with shooting. You add spacing naturally by getting a guy like him. And when you look at the stats, we're talking field goal attempts per game last year. This isn't a guy that requires a lot of shots. He doesn't. He doesn't have to hunt shots. They just naturally come within. You can run some action for him. Last season, 7.5 shots a game on average. It's the most for his career. 6 of those were from the three-point line. You're getting a true guy that can stretch the floor, but that three-point percentage, Jack, 49.8%, attempting 6 threes a game.
And I had it wrong. It was 86% on catch and shoot, on catch and shoot true efficiency. 100%, 100th percentile.
But then you go down and you look, and he doesn't turn the ball over either. He's never averaged a turnover per game in a season of college basketball. None. Like, it's under 1. Like, he values possessions and he hits threes. That's the perfect guy to eat up some minutes and really add some spacing with the ability that Kentucky's going to have and the system that Mark Pope's going to run. And we broke that down 2 weeks ago. the way that they're going to play in space, the threes that they're going to shoot in transition, the way they're going to have guys running to the rim, he's the perfect fit to kind of stretch defenses out and make you guard those numbers and things that Mark Pope wants teams to be able to guard Kentucky and have to go Kentucky. So I would love for that to break during the show because I think it would be cool to get a live reaction and see the chat and stuff happening. But no, if that is to work out in Kentucky's favor, then that's a piece to get excited about. And it's a different piece than some of the others that they've been adding in recent days.
I saw somebody in the chat say that Elijah Hawkins just committed to Texas Tech. So it is not official yet, obviously. I'm not seeing it pop up yet, but that's Minnesota transfer, a guy that Kentucky had on its wish list. And one of those names that we've talked about potentially at the point guard spot that I would feel pretty darn confident in. Davon Smith was a guy that I think would end up at Kentucky if the transcript situation gets fixed. You know, this is a kid that, you know, would be going to his fourth school in 5 years. That obviously leads to a lot of, you know, hangups and, you know, credits not transferring from one place to the other. Got, you know, when you're three schools removed from where one school's credits transfer to another, they might not transfer to Kentucky and vice versa. So he's in a tricky spot where I think there could be clarity on that maybe in the coming weeks when he graduates officially, but it's right now it's very, very foggy. He ends up not being able to make his official visit. So not officially off of the wish list. And that's for my money. He would be my potential favorite there. But if Elijah Hawkins ends up at Texas Tech, that takes one name off the list. I'm interested how Javon Small at Oklahoma State, again, we talked the last show that you're kind of putting yourself in prime position to land one of those prime point guard spots. How does Brandon Garrison's relationship with Javon Small impact his recruitment? There was some not funny business, but it was his recruitment was a little bit complicated. He is cousins with Antonio Reeves. John Calipari and his staff had recruited him thoroughly, and he was kind of a shoe-in to be at Kentucky before because of those prior relationships, and then things just kind of got uprooted. It's kind of a similar situation with Kobe Brea, talking to people around Kobe Brea's on his side, also on Javon Small's side, that Javon didn't want to risk going into an empty cover. He didn't want to be the guy diving headfirst by himself to say, okay, well, I'm the lead guard. Everybody come play with me. He just has too much to lose there. He didn't want to be that guy. He wanted to see the foundation set. So I think this is playing in Kentucky's favor for a guy like Javon Small, who had some of those concerns, because that's what Kobe Brea dealt with before as well. He kind of was not super in love with Kentucky initially, really had his eyes on UConn and Duke. UNC was in there. And then Kentucky kind of had to prove that it was going to have a foundation that would make it work with Kobe. And now they are the runaway favorite to land his commitment. You could put yourself in a similar position with Javon Small, especially if some of these other options come off the board. If Davon can't get into Kentucky, if Elijah Hawkins ends up going to Texas Tech, you could see that one be a premier get for Kentucky. And I would love Javon Small. I think he's one of the best guys that is available for Kentucky. I just saw your guy, actually, Sean, Wugo Poplar of Miami. He just got contacted by Kentucky and is in the process of potentially scheduling a visit there. So you have some flexibility at the guard position where you can kind of push all of your chips in. If you land this core group of guys that we're talking about, you can push your chips in on one of the premier guys. And I think everybody we've talked about would fit that mold.
Yeah, you mentioned Javon Small. It's another guy that Mark Pope is very, very familiar with. He actually scored 34 points and knocked down 5 threes against Mark Pope and BYU on March 9th. So that's another that has had success against Pope. And that's why I think when you look at kind of this big board of targets and the guys that they've identified and went after, I don't think it's just a coincidence that there's names that they have seen on two eyes, Jack. I truly believe that there's something to it. And if we sit Mark Pope down, when this is all said and done, he's probably going to say the same thing. Like you saw that in, you know, the quotes and things that he was talking about with some recent commitments that they've been connected with and guys that's like, yeah, that guy killed us and had success here against Baylor and things. So I just think that there's something to that. It's not just a coincidence that you're seeing names popping up. And when you're coaching college basketball and the transfer portal is what it is, each time you play against someone, you probably go back to your office and maybe just put them on a list of, oh, let's watch this. If this guy goes in the portal, I kind of like that guy's game. Maybe I want to say something good about him in the post-game press conference. Maybe I want to speak highly about his game, because you don't know. You don't ever want to burn a bridge. You want to build it. To me, it's networking, building relationships in a different way than it ever has been before. And I think a lot of that is kind of an advantage in yourself if you're going up against these guys. But no, like, getting a point guard is very important. I like the pieces that Kentucky has. And if they get Bray, I like the shooting that he adds to this roster and the ability to stretch the floor. Now you need guys that can touch the paint. You've got one in Lamont Butler. You've got some guys there with some skill set. They lane and do some things in the system and playing in space. If you get a point guard that can touch the paint with the way Kentucky's going to run offense in this system, it's the system, Jack. I really, truly believe the system is going to add value to all these pieces. And I think that when you get in the system that Mark Pope has had at BYU with the success that they've had offensively, you do that at Kentucky with better players, more talent pieces. I think the system is going to bring out the best offensive game of a lot of these guys, and they're going to have some career years. Maybe not when it comes to points per game or rebounds per game, but when it comes to an efficiency number. I think that this system is going to produce efficient offensive results, and that's why I'm not too worried about that you're getting defensive-minded people, because the defense is going to set the tone. You got to have it to win a national championship. We've seen that firsthand. We saw that this year. We saw it the last few years. This system is going to be what is the strength of this or offensively. That's why I'm not too worried about if they don't go get the alpha somewhere. I think that the system itself is going to create and become the alpha in itself.
And that's why I take a guy like Otega Owe, who shot a career-high 37% shooter, admittedly, an awful shooter up to this point of his career, and really wasn't all that great down the stretch in conference play. But talking to, you know, his former coach, you know, it's the how he shot, the shot quality that he took. When he took high quality shots, he made them. His catch and shoot numbers and open looks numbers were actually really solid. Same thing with Lamont Butler. You're adding guys that maybe in former systems didn't shoot super well, but in this system, the numbers and analytics back up that they fit a very specific role that the open shots that they're going to get in this system will allow. So you're kind of thinking forward. You're kind of banking on a limited sample size of, okay, they may not have shot incredibly well as a 10, 12 dribble guy, you know, creating his own shot. But what happens when he got put in position to take, you know, just in pure catch and shoot situations, open looks, what did those numbers look like? And they skewed in their favor. Otega Owe perfectly, Lamont Butler perfectly. I think that leads to, you know, more possibilities there. And I think that's what the vision is for Mark Pope. Sean, the guy that I have my eyes on, the one that I think can make me think that this is going to be going from a second weekend roster, a competitive roster where it's going to be a fun season, refreshing, all that stuff, to a potentially really, you know, Final Four competitive level roster, is Jackson Robinson. That's a guy that I think Kentucky has to do whatever it takes to land. He is still testing the draft waters. He says his priority is to, you know, hopefully stay in the draft. He's still technically a second round grade right now, with some of these other guys maybe pulling out of the draft. Maybe it leaves a possibility for him to slide into the end of the first round. I doubt it. That's a kid that I think is a true star at Kentucky. I think he would fit the role that Antonio Reeves had this past season. I think he's an Antonio Reeves level talent. I mean, not All-American, all-time efficiency, you know, John Calipari's all-time leading scorer numbers, but that's a guy who would fit a very clear star role at the wing position that I think could really raise the floor of this team and have you thinking pretty solid about this team's chances to make a legitimate run in March. He's officially in the portal. He's exploring his options. May not be as, you know, open and shut to Kentucky. He wants to hear it out. But everything I heard from the minute Mark Pope left, he even told some people privately that Kentucky was going to be his end destination through his recruitment, through the draft process, all that, that Kentucky would end up being his final destination. We'll see if that plays out. But that's the must get for Kentucky and Mark Pope, if you ask me.
I agree with you 100%. That's the guy to me that maybe separates himself from the rest of them. And with the potential of doing it at Kentucky, I think he can be even better. I mean, he had a game last season where he hit 8 threes, I think, early in the year. I know it was a high number of three-point attempts. I think he still shot maybe 45-50% in that game. But another guy that's got NCAA tournament success, 25 points in NCAA tournament game. Like, when you're talking all these names, you know, the Lamont Butlers, the Jackson Robinsons, these guys that have done it in the NCAA tournament, Jack, that's so valuable. That's so valuable across college basketball. And he's a guy that plenty of big nights for BYU. Played a key role for him. Another Pope is familiar with. So the familiarity that I keep going back to, you're going to have guys on this roster, if they get this one done with him, that Mark Pope has coached. He knows exactly what Mark Pope wants out of an offensive system. He knows what Mark Pope wants defensively. He knows what the expectations are playing for him. But then Pope's familiarity with these other pieces too, and know exactly what to do with their game and how they had success against him. I think the familiarity of some of these pieces is going to make the transition easier with a lot of new faces for a guy like Pope and a new staff entirely. Like this, I don't think this is going to be as big of a transition when it all comes together as what people think. When it comes to learning each other on the floor, these are veteran pieces that have played a lot of basketball. And I think the transition is going to be easier than maybe some expect with an entirely new roster. A guy like Jackson Robinson makes that even easier if it happens.
Yeah, and that is the, you know, in terms of role, in terms of what you've built around to lay the foundation. I don't know how, you know, some of the other schools that have been thrown around for Jackson Robinson, Kansas, and you know, other Big 12 schools. I don't know how you look at this position with a, you know, he has his career year under Mark Pope with this same coaching staff, the same core group. He goes, he needs a bigger platform where there's more eyes on him, there's more substance there. At a place like Kentucky, where if he does become the All-American candidate that he has the potential and raw talent to be, then he's a clear draft pick. He's already damn near there anyway. That's what he needs to kind of take to the next level. I just don't buy it. I don't buy that, you know, he has to play his cards right. And he has to, you know, at least be recruited for his own good, his leverage. I mean, I'll never fault somebody for finding leverage for himself with NIL, for role, for minutes, for shots, whatever. I don't care. It just, there's such a clear fit for him in this system with the way the roster is being built that it makes no sense for that very specific role to not be filled by Jackson Robinson. And if not, you got to find somebody that's going to be the next Jackson Robinson. And there are other portal options available. The clock is ticking. That thing wraps up on Wednesday. So what you see is what you get for a lot of these guys. You know, barring different coaching changes or whatever that could, you know, lead to different extended windows. But the bulk of the portal is going to be filled up by Wednesday. I don't think another Jackson Robinson's coming through that door. That's leading you to must land territory for Mark Pope. And then I think from there, if you're able to land him, then you can kind of push whatever remaining chips you have on Great Osabor as when he finishes up the process to say, look, you know, we still got have a pretty clear star role in the front court that you could fill. Why don't you come take that or go get a superstar in the backcourt, go get the best scoring guard or best facilitating guard in the transfer portal and say, you're going to be our primary ball handler and facilitator. Go find that. But at this point you are maybe two stars away from then just being extra scholarship pieces. And the roster's almost done. Like the core group is almost done and they're in a really, really, you know, they're important roles to fill, but you don't have many necessary roles to fill beyond just let's go get a star, which I think that's a really solid spot to be in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. And Robinson is a guy too, that knows his role, right? Like numbers got better in year two at BYU. Starts went down. I mean, when you look at the numbers and stuff, his first year there, you know, playing in 33 games, starting 30 games, playing 28 minutes a game this year, playing the same number of games, only six starts and 26 and a half minutes. But the numbers went up. Shots went up. Points went up. Everything went up. Three-point percentage climbed. That's a guy that a third year under Mark Pope makes a ton of sense. and continue to take his game to the next level and be a pro. Like that's a difference maker got to go get for 1 year to kind of bridge the gap between year one and year two of what you're wanting to do at Kentucky. And I think the fit would make a ton of sense. He settled in at BYU. I know with the course of his career and stuff, you know, changed schools and programs there a couple of times, but familiarity, I'm going to keep going back to that word. Mark Pope's familiar with him. He's familiar with Pope. They've had success together. I think that success would be even greater if it's at Kentucky.
Totally agree. And on that note, Joe Tipton just broke the news. Elijah Hawkins is committing to Texas Tech. So that is one more off the list for Kentucky in the backcourt. I know they liked him.
Make the graphic, Steven.
Take him off now, Steven.
On the spot.
No, but again, it's time is kind of working against you a little bit with the portal closing, where you got only a tiny window of top level elite talent to recruit from. You got to go kind of make your move at this point forward. There was I don't know if it was officially announced, but Darren Peterson went on Instagram and named four schools, just kind of put on his story. Four different schools. Kentucky was one of them, included Kansas, Ohio State. I can't remember what the third one was off the top of my head, but he's a guy that has always been in the middle of, did not include Arkansas, by the way, in John Calipari, but he was one of those guys that has always been included in, just like the X on Elijah Hawkins at Stephen Drew. But Darren Peterson's a guy that will be involved in reclass rumors until the day that he doesn't. Until the second that he enrolls in high school for one final season, he's going to be thrown in the mix there. That could be a last second desperate option for Kentucky, if necessary, at the point guard position, who is a star. I like that possibility. I love him. Every time I've ever talked to him, every time I've talked to his family, people around him, his AAU programs, whatever, it's always been, now he's going to stick in 2025, he's sticking 2025, whatever, because he is a two-year kid, kind of like Jaden Quaintance, who's now signed with Arizona State, Louisville. But that's one that I would certainly love. But you have a couple options there. I don't know if Darren Peterson, would you like to see Darren Peterson fill that role? Sean, I'm assuming it's a yes, but might as well ask you first.
Yeah, this is one of those times that you can be safe to assume. Yeah, I would love Darren Peterson to fill that role. I think he's a super talented kid. I think he's got a ton of potential, and you're talking star potential right out of the gate. So yeah, if that's the way it were to fall, then absolutely. And I think you mentioned it earlier. Now that this thing is starting to come together, is there that guy that Kentucky can pull? That's like, hey, this role right here is available. We do not have a guy that can do this and this and this. Is that appealing to someone that maybe they can get after the transfer portal settles? After you get maybe another name or two on this roster and you've got nine guys, and then you can kind of clear cut see a role for someone? Because whatever those final couple of roles are on this roster, those couple guys, once you've got a point guard in, let's just say they get a point guard here pretty soon, you add some shooting, when it starts getting down to number 10, 11, and 12, it's going to be interesting to see, is 10, 11, and 12 meant to make an impact now? Or are they going and getting maybe a guy that they can kind of bring in that's going to develop within your program? Or do they feel they go get a guy that's another shooter? Like, what do they feel those final few spots of the roster like, Jack? And I think that obviously in order, it was defensive physicality. Now you're moving into guard play and shooting. And getting into those depth pieces. So, but no, like if Darren Peterson were to be the guy, I'm certainly not going to complain.
John Hanson, where the heck is Sean? You're just talking in this little tiny window below me, below the graphic for like 5 minutes. I only see a talking forehead. And then somebody else asked, I just want to know what the heck happened to his hair. Go back to the beginning of the show. I talked about it. I don't want to further embarrass myself. It was USC as the other school with Darren Peterson. So that's definitely a interesting final four that, you know, Kansas was the one school beyond Kentucky that everybody talked about with and was seen as a top threat, the Adidas connection, all that. So that's still a constant with no coaching change. Bill Self still going to be there when Darren Peterson's there. So we'll see how that unfolds. Matt G says, do we have any information at all about this Chandler kid? I mean, he hasn't worked out at all and hasn't hardly picked up a basketball in those 2 years. talking to people around the BYU program at the time of the commitment, they made it very, very clear that been there, done that. They have done this with, I mean, there were more kids on last year's BYU roster that had come off a two-year mission trip than hadn't. So they know what the ramp-up process looks like. They know what it takes to get them back in game shape. I know there were some players that kind of said that, yeah, once you get into the meat and potatoes of the season, it does get a little bit, you know, there are times that you don't feel like you have your legs totally, that it just comes with time. But for the most part, you get to be back at 85-90%, feel pretty good after 6 to 8 weeks. They have like a 6 to 8 week ramp up process. So Colin Chandler, I think, is awesome. I loved him in high school. I saw several games of him. I remember vividly being out in Vegas at the Pangos All-American Camp, watching him play and going, who is this kid and why is he ending up at BYU? Not knowing anything about the religious dynamic and all, you know, all that. I had no idea why a kid that talented was going to BYU. And it made so much sense why he's going to end up, was going to end up there now and is making his way to Lexington. I was told that he gets back on May 2nd from his mission trip. So the 6 to 8 week ramp up process will begin this week, potentially, you know, starting next week. So I'm really excited about Colin Chandler. I know you are too. That's a kid that I believe Mark Pope referred to him as a future superstar, a superstar young talent is what Mark Pope referred to him as. And I think it's a great long-term fit here.
Yeah, that's a lot of praise. But the one thing about it, Jack, is everyone coming into this thing, sure, guys have played college basketball, but everybody's coming into this transition new. Like, this is a new look. This is a new place. This is a new staff. This is new everything. And everybody's going to get a fresh start out of the gate. But when you turn on the tape and you look, he's skilled. He can play. He's going to be a very important piece of the program, hopefully a right away. But if not, that's a guy that you want in your program year two and moving forward. I mean, the stats and the rankings and everything back it up. And when you turn on the tape, you see it. Like, he's produced some things that Mark Pope and the staff like out of their guards and out of their pieces. Listen, a couple weeks ago when this all happened, there was some everybody was anxious about what this thing could look like. With each commitment and each signature and thing that comes in, the confidence in it being good is growing. And I think swinging and getting some of these things that Pope has done with some of these recruitments in recent days, the staff in place, he has had an excellent 2 weeks on the job. How quickly this is coming together, getting guys to commit without ever getting to campus is a pretty big statement to make. That was a big swing and home run knock of the park today. I mean, they're having guys that are wanting to commit as soon as they step off the plane. Like, whatever you're selling prior to them getting here, you're selling it and they're believing it, and they're not even needing to see it on campus to buy in. So the message is being heard. They're believing in the messenger, and that was priority number one. You had to, your message, you had to sell it. He's selling it. He's doing an excellent job. There's talent coming in. There's experience coming in. Like, I think that this Mark Pope thing is going to work out, even though there maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were kind of iffy on it. But the same way he won over the fans, he's winning over these players too, and he's getting the job done on the recruiting trail, and he's starting to piece together a solid roster.
I mean, that's three guys. Colin Chandler never visited in person with Kentucky, at least. I mean, he obviously visited BYU, but never visited Kentucky. And then you got Lamont Butler. You had to go fly out to visit with him, but he never set foot on campus. And then obviously Brandon Garrison, he visited three other schools and realized that they weren't the fits for him, and he committed to Kentucky without setting foot on campus in Lexington. So the brand is there. The sell is there. And I thought it was really cool to share a quick story. When I was in Memphis this past weekend, Chuck Hayes was there. His son plays for the 17U with the Houston Hoops, and he, you know, solid player, up and coming player. He's a name that he's going to be on some boards and, you know, recruiting rankings that you'll see in the near future. But I talked to him, you know, it's about Mark Pope. What do you think about the hire? just what are your thoughts on the transition from Cal to Pope? And he said, I don't want this to get lost in translation because I love Cal. I love what he brought to the table, kind of shared some of the same thoughts that we had where, yeah, they might not have hit the postseason success that we've been looking for some of the years and a little bit of a drought here as of late. But big picture, Cal was an unbelievable ambassador for the program, did so much good, thankful for his time that he spent at Kentucky. But he referred to it as, we're bringing Kentucky back by having Mark Pope here. And he kind of just lit a fire in Lexington that just has not been really met and kept up with in recent years. Just the new level of excitement and passion. And, you know, we saw the selling out Rupp Arena. We've seen just the excitement with the boom tweets with Cody Feger and just different little things that we haven't seen with this fan base in a really long time, a new level of engagement and excitement. And Chuck Hayes was like, that's what we have been missing. It was untapped potential for us as a program that you could only get with a guy like Mark Pope. He was like, I, he's now the director of, one of the like number two and number three with the Golden State Warriors. He is as good as it gets in terms of a basketball front office mind. He said, I'm out on the West Coast. I saw a ton of BYU basketball. If you weren't a fan of the hire, you just didn't watch enough BYU basketball. This is a brand that excites people. It's a platform that excites people. We were missing this. It was such a complimentary fit with those two guys. It brought Kentucky back by bringing in Mark Pope. And I think the recruits are starting to see that. I think that you're still going to get some skepticism. You're still going to get, talking to Cam Boozer. Didn't get a whole lot of love about Kentucky and Mark Pope and said, John Calipari is all I know with Kentucky. I don't know a whole lot about Mark Pope. I couldn't tell you what his philosophies are. And that's fine. You're going to get some of those situations and that pocket of people. But for the grand scheme of things, the big picture people, they will see the ins and outs of the way Mark Pope operates and the way the staff operates, the mystery and the being left out and waking up one day and having Brandon Garrison commit, little things like that. They're operating in a really, really efficient, strong way that they're not going to hit on every single guy. It's still going to be a new process. It's still going to be a long-term adjustment that we're going to have to live with some hurdles and adversities that, we're not going to go undefeated this season, but there's still such a core foundation that's being set with Mark Pope that I just don't think was ever going to be unlocked again with John Calipari. He said it best. This program needed a new voice, and you couldn't have found a bigger, brighter, more eccentric voice than Mark Pope. So I think we're starting to see that in the transfer portal, and I think we're going to eventually see that with some of these high school recruits as well.
I think so too. And it's going to at some point the talking season is going to end, and then it's going to become what you do on the court. And I still think that Mark Pope is putting this program in a situation in a position to have success early. Going and loading up on these veteran guys and guys that have proven to do it in multiple stops and multiple college basketball and in the NCAA tournament, you've got good versatility already on this roster. You've got your front court solidified. You're still hopeful that you can add another piece or so there. We're coming together, adding some shooting here, hopefully in the near future. It's all starting to shape in, and you can kind of see the end result of what this Kentucky team can look like, Jack. And I think from what we expected maybe 3 weeks ago until now, I'm surprised that it looks as good as it does, but I'm believing it can look even better here pretty soon. And I'm starting to buy into what Mark Pope is selling. Then it becomes, do you have enough results on, like, you're showing that you can win in recruiting. Now you got to back it up and have success on the floor. If he does that in year one and in year two, and I mean, everybody's right. These recruits are right. They're 16, 17 years old. The only thing that they've known Kentucky basketball is John Calipari. I mean, we're talking a decade and a half that he was here. Like, these kids were born. That's all they've known is Kentucky basketball under Cal. So it's going to take some time to establish a new kind of identity of what Kentucky basketball is and how they play. But the brand is always going to be the brand. And Mark Pope is selling a good brand right now and kind of putting his own touch on what Kentucky basketball is going to be. Have results on the court, and here in a year or two, Kentucky's going to have a new identity on the recruiting trail, and I think they're already kind of establishing that, but they can do it even more so in the coming months.
Yeah, absolutely. Knockout few quick things here. The Source Day podcast is brought to you by Andy Ludicky and MyPerfectFranchise.net. Andy is a franchise consultant as well as franchise owner and helps people find franchises that fit their skill sets, financial requirements, time to commit, and more. His services are 100% free, and he is here to help. If you have any questions about business ownership, you can learn more and contact Andy anytime at www.MyPerfectFranchise.net. Sean, there were a couple comments about Travis Perry and what his impact's going to be from day one. That's one that Kentucky fans are obviously very excited about, that all-time leading scorer in the state. But some fans were talking about him being the next Reed Sheppard. And I don't want fans to get a once-in-a-lifetime situation that we saw with Reed Sheppard and, you know, put that pressure on a guy like Travis Perry to follow in those footsteps in case he doesn't become the next generational talent who's going to be a top 10 draft pick and all of the accolades and all-time leading shooter in Kentucky basketball history, those things. I want fans to be optimistic about Travis Perry because I love his game. I think he's a better fit for Mark Pope than he was for John Calipari. But we will have to find a balance of not making every in-state talent the next Reed Sheppard, because I don't think that's necessarily fair for Travis Perry.
No, that's not fair expectations at all. And, you know, Travis is a very good player. Reed Sheppard, very good player, ended up being a great player at Kentucky. Has an NBA career waiting on him here in a few months. I coached against, I know how good Travis is. Travis literally put us away in the blink of an eye at a tournament at Lexington Catholic. It literally went from being a five-point game to him hitting a couple of threes in a row. And then the next thing you know, we inbound the ball. We know it. He's got the ball and throws it out to the corner, sets his feet, and hits another three. So that five-point deficit turned into 14 just like that. And we come over and meet as a coaching staff. And it was, what the hell just happened? I said, what happened? Like, Travis has that shot-making ability, that skill set to have success in this program. But don't put any unrealistic, unfair expectations on what he can be. Let it just naturally happen. Whatever he becomes over the next year or few years at Kentucky, just let it be. He's going to make shots. If he gets opportunities, he can build up. If he gets clean looks, the ball's going to go in. That's what I can tell you about Travis. Travis is going to attack the game with the mindset that he can compete. I've seen Travis compete against the best of the best in workouts. I've game plan for Travis Perry. Travis Perry is tough as hell to coach against and defend. You put him with some talented pieces at Kentucky and he can have success, but stay away from any comparisons of in-state talent, because Reed Sheppard and what he did this season, I didn't see it coming. I knew Reed would be a very good player, but I did not see what happened this season. If it happens with Travis Perry, great. If it doesn't, he's still going to have a ton of success, but he's on his own track here.
Reed Sheppard didn't think Reed Sheppard was going to happen this year. If you thought it was what we saw was going to happen, you're lying, because even the most optimistic fan of what you thought Reed could be, it was always going to be 2, maybe 3 years. He would play a big role off the bench in year one and then maybe emerge as a starter in year two. That's not how it worked out. He ended up being a superstar from day one, and now he's going to be a top 10 draft pick. So I love Travis Perry. I think he's going to be a great player for Kentucky. I think he's going to be a long-term fit. I would just hit pause pretty hard on any Reed Sheppard comparisons, because they're just different players, different styles of play, different, you know, and look, physicals. There's just a lot there.
And look, he wants to be in this program. Mm-hmm. Like, he'd never, like, when the change happened and Cal goes to Arkansas, Travis Perry was right there at Rupp Arena showing his support for where he wanted to be. I love guys that want to be a part of this program. In-state kids, it's even more special. Travis wants Kentucky. It was about Kentucky for Travis Perry. It wasn't about anything else. He's going to have success here. I think he's going to have a very good career, and I think he's going to do some things to help this team and help this roster in the coming years, but don't put unfair expectations on anyone. Let their game then raise the expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. One final note here. The sports calendar is loaded and FanDuel is making it even more exciting to get in on the action, because right now new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 you can use on MLB, NBA, NHL, and so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/Pilgrim and make your first bet a big win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book. 21 and older and present in Kentucky. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sean, final thoughts. What do you need to see these next couple of days? We got through this whole thing without a Kobe Brea commitment. You know, it would be our luck that 5 minutes from now, he ends up committing to the Cats. But what do you need to see out of Mark Pope and his roster building here in the next couple of days as he looks to build a Final Four contender?
I do want Kobe Brea. That's what I want to fall next, is I want that guy that I have a ton of confidence in to make. Obviously, let the Jackson Robinson stuff play out and see where that goes. But if you get those two pieces and you add it to what you're already doing, then I feel so much better about what I already feel good about. Like, I feel really good right now, but I'll feel even better if you get those two. And then you kind of just see what happens with the portal here in the next few days or the next day or two. And then kind of see what happens over the course of May. Like, you don't know. But right now, I feel really good about where Pope and Kentucky are at. Feel even better if you get another commitment or two here in the coming days. But I just don't want to see the momentum stop. Get another commitment. Space these things out. Keep getting guys to visit. Keep getting them on campus. Keep selling your program and the vision of what you think Kentucky can be. Hey, just get me to October and get me to November because I'm already ready for it.
Yeah, I think that's where I am. I want a Kobe Brea commitment, and then I want Pope to go all in on a star. I want it to be Jackson Robinson, but you know, if that works, doesn't work out, he wants to stay in the draft or whatever, that's totally fine. I want it to be Jackson Robinson, but if not, I want him to go land the guy, whether it's the point guard position, whether it's the wing, whether it's Great Osabor, you know, going through all of his visits and all that. I feel hopeful. He's put himself in a really, really strong spot. I'm really confident about the way things have transitioned from one step to the other. I know there was some panic last week when there was only three signings, and we kind of said, let's open the next week with one more, and then let's close the next week with seven. We are right on pace with what we were hoping for, actually ahead of schedule right now, especially if you land Kobe Brea. So it's a really, really solid position to be in if you are Mark Pope and company. Great staff, great, you know, putting together a really, really special thing. So looking forward to see what the next little bit looks like, the next couple days, minutes, hours, all that good stuff. Go subscribe to KSR Plus if you have not yet. There's an unbelievable deal right now where you get $1 for a month, and it's where the action is. It's where you're getting all the scoop first. It's where you're getting all the intel first. We're getting player developments, what it looks like, you know, different rumors, rumbling, scuttlebutt, all that good stuff. You won't find that anywhere else but KS Board, KSR Plus. So make sure you go subscribe there. Go subscribe to this YouTube channel. We're having a blast over here. We're going to be staying up to date with all the latest and greatest rumors, rumblings, roster news, updates, everything that you need to hear right here on the Sources Say podcast. Sean, with that, where can fans find your work?
You can follow me on social media at _CoachSSmith.
And
getting used to that now.
And actually, we have a special offer that is $1 for 2 months using code UK1. Make sure you go include that. It's an absolute steal for what you get. $1 for 2 months, code UK1 on KSR Plus. It's an absolute bargain. So make sure you go do that. You can find me on Twitter as well, at Jack Pilgrim KSR, KSR Plus, KentuckySportsRadio.com, the KSR YouTube page, all of the above. We have a whole lot of fun over there, and we're going to keep on having fun. We'll see you next time.